Welcome to Women of Hope. My name is Penny Mulvey. I was reading a delightful article about shearers recently. Men who perhaps epitomise that rugged with heart of gold non-communicative Aussie. Nothing waspish or snaggish about shearers. The article was examining the spiritual aspect of shearers, and it ended like this. This small knot of lean, singlet-wearing men lived out the gospel. For them, the good news was as real and essential as working in a corrugated iron shed with bleating sheep and heat. Their God was a God who, with sleeves rolled up, could take time out for a beer and laugh at the world. They evangelised no one at the cream stand. For them, the purpose of life was to love your neighbour, and they drew strength from the company of true believers. That's our topic on Women of Hope today. This group of shearers had worked out how to live with purpose, and to them the purpose of life was to love their neighbour. Sounds simple enough, but one look at the world demonstrates the difficulty of the task. So, let's explore how to live with purpose. I'm speaking with Jill McCoy, and today we're looking at living with purpose. Hello, Jill.
Hello, Penny.
Now, Jill, earlier you joined us to talk about embracing new beginnings, and you had some really very useful things to talk about change and some of the issues that women are confronted with, both imposed upon and personally dealing with letting go. And, of course, we've gone through over the last few weeks, we've moved through the importance of embracing new beginnings, of what's the point of life, how we determine that we do have a purpose. And today we're looking at living with purpose. Many people don't live with purpose. They're floundering. They're just kind of getting up and going from day to day. Do you think it's important that we do live with purpose?
Vitally important. I think there's a real danger in the busyness of life that we will just do the things that are immediately ahead of us each day and not focus on the bigger picture. But there's so much to be gained, not just in terms of our own contribution, but in terms of what we receive back into our own lives from having that sense of purpose and focusing on bigger things.
If we're going to live with purpose, how do you define or how do you determine what your purpose is?
It's about knowing yourself, I think, knowing who you are and what you bring to life. What your own particular strengths are, what your own passions are, knowing what are the things that you care about. The phrase I often use in talking to people about these things, and I'm privileged to do so quite often, is to ask, what is it that gives you life? What is it that energizes you, that feeds your own soul? And there are different answers to that for every one of us, but we all have things that do that for us. I can think of one friend for whom painting is the thing that is life-giving. I can think of another for whom writing has that sort of function, and others for whom caring for other people is a life-giving, energizing experience. I guess for me personally, the thing that above all else feeds my soul is teaching or being an educator in various ways. Not the joy of standing in front of people and pontificating, but that glorious moment, whether it be in a one-to-one situation or in front of a large group of people, where you see somebody make a connection they hadn't made before and feel empowered in their own thinking and their own understanding. And for me, that's just the most wonderful and exciting thing, and something that I would walk across cut glass to do. It's the thing that really gives me life and energy. And the business of living with purpose is, I think, about identifying whatever that thing is for you and not feeling apologetic about what it is, that it's too small or too insignificant a thing. If it's the thing for you, then it's the thing to embrace. And then you can ask, how can I actually do this in the world? How can I fit this into the rest of my roles and my function in society?
If life is only 70 plus years, and for some it's much shorter, is that the only reason that we're here, just to live and fulfill our particular life-giving sort of hobby or thrill?
Not at all. The ultimate purpose in life is, I would say, in the words of the old catechism, to worship God and enjoy Him forever. But that worshipping of God and enjoying of God has a real dimension now in our everyday living, as well as being something which has ongoing eternal dimensions. And how we will worship God and how we will enjoy God the other side of this life is something that the Bible speculates about and Christian thinkers throughout the years have speculated about, but which we can only speculate about, whereas I think we can be much more definite about how we can go about doing that, not just in little bits of our lives, but in all of our life, this side of death.
Many religions are based around a higher calling and a faith. But what sets the Christian faith apart is the invitation to you and me to have a personal relationship or friendship with God. It is that intimate two-way love that is unique and extraordinary. Jill, do you think the opportunity for a personal relationship with the God in heaven has an impact on people?
My own life has been radically transformed by that personal relationship. It's the thing that gives me confidence in who I am. It's knowing that I'm a person not randomly put together, but a person created by God to live in a particular time and place, to serve a particular purpose in the bringing about of God's kingdom, is foundational to my thinking about who I am and how I operate in the world.
You are listening to Women of Hope, and my guest is Jill McCoy. Jill, before the song, you were talking about the concept that every person on this earth is born with a specific purpose. When you stop to think about that, it would suggest a depth of love that is quite profound.
Yes, I think that's the great truth and the great challenge of the Christian story, that God loves us in a way which is beyond our comprehending, a way which is of a different order of magnitude to anything we experience in human relationships. The love of God is something which has analogies in human experience. You know, if we read the Bible, it does make those connections. It speaks of God's love as being like a mother's love or like a father's love, and even speaks of God's love as being like the love of a sexual partner. But in all those ways, it is only sort of like. There's at the same time an awareness that the love of God, whilst being intimated in these relationships, at the same time, by definition, transcends those sorts of relationships. So the love of God is bigger than any other kind of love that we can imagine. And traditionally, Christian teaching has pointed to not just the life of Jesus, but the death of Jesus as the ultimate indicator of the extraordinary depth of God's love, that God loves each one of us individually so much that God is willing to suffer and to die for any one of us. And it's that for any one of us that I think we often slide around. We think that if Jesus died for human beings, he died for humanity in general, or he died for other people, or for good people. For most of us, the notion that if I was the only human being who would have been reconciled to God by the death of Christ, God would still have done that, is a thought beyond thinking. It's just too big an idea. But that's the heart of the Christian message, that you, Penny, and I, Jill, each matter that much to God.
And it's so hard, because when we feel so unloved, when we think that we're so unlovable, to actually take that in is impossible.
It's certainly very hard. It can be impossible sometimes. It can also be transforming. If we're able to open ourselves to that truth, it is radically life-changing. It certainly has been for me and for many others that I know.
So in being radically life-changing, accepting the love of God, that love is for me, then it must make us live in an entirely different way.
Absolutely. That's where I think we come back to this notion of having purpose, the notion that whatever I am is something that God can and will work with. There's a real temptation, I think, for us to feel that I'll do things in the world, or I'll make a contribution when I'm good enough, when I have enough time, when I'm wise enough, mature enough, whatever the qualification may be. But we feel that we are not enough in some way or other to make a contribution. I think the Christian story says quite radically that that is not so, that each one of us, as we are at this moment, have a purpose and can make a profoundly important contribution.
Wow, is that not empowering? When you're feeling miserable, cling to that statement of Jill's. We have value right now. We don't need to add on all the if-onlys and whens. Women of Hope will be back shortly.